Well, good morning. I think we may have to move. We have more people in the fellowship hall than we have in the sanctuary, so we may need to go out there to have worship with them. No. I'd like to call everybody in to worship the Lord and invite you to turn to the back of the bulletin. Got a number of announcements there. We will be celebrating the Lord's Supper today. For any of our guests, so you know, we celebrate what we refer to as an open communion. If you are actively trusting in the Lord Jesus, then this is a meal for you as much as it is for us. And we invite you to partake of it if you so desire. Okay. We'll also be having a fellowship meal following worship. Even if you didn't bring any food, we'd love for you to be our guest and stay for that time. Men's breakfast next Saturday. And guys, we'll be looking at chapter 3 of our Like Father, Like Son book that we're reading through. I want to encourage you as you read that, be marking it up with questions and observations that we can then have conversation about on Saturday. And then you see some other announcements as well. An announcement that I failed to get in the bulletin is that during the month of August, we will be opening nominations for officers. So if there's any man who you feel meets the qualifications for serving as deacon or elder, we invite you to nominate that man. And we ask that you make those nominations in writing and hand them to our clerk of the session, who is Rich Schmidt. So please let Rich know if there's anyone who you would like to nominate. Are there any other announcements? All right, Bob.
Okay, we've had some rain, so I need some young men with shovels and rakes to make more final justice on this dirt. Anybody who would like to come over during the week or whenever you can and start to come fill it in, that would be very helpful.
Well, and if weather allows, maybe after after our men's breakfast on Saturday, guys, we could stay and work for a couple hours around the property or even in the church. Eric, you got something?
There was something that you asked me to remind you to announce that I cannot remember, and I'm hoping that he's saying this will spark your memory.
You're too young.
Maybe it was officer nominations. I'm not sure. Was it? All right. We'll pretend.
Okay.
We'll pretend. And next time, let's have our wives remind our wives, and they'll remind us. All right. If there are no other announcements, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's encourage one another with the series of announcements that we have in the front of the bulletin, and that is that Christ has come.
Christ has come.
Christ is crucified.
Christ is crucified.
Christ is risen from the dead.
Christ is coming again.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a sing.
Thank you. Hear now the word of the Lord from Psalm 105 and 96 as he calls us to worship him. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of all those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Amen. Please stand and let us respond to the Lord's call to worship with the two songs in the bulletin.
Mercy is more.
Bow your heads with me in prayer. O Lord, our God, you have called us to worship this morning by calling us to give thanks to you and to call upon your name in singing songs and in telling of your wondrous works. And so, Lord, we have responded and done so. We have thanked you and exalted your name for the work of redemption that you have done and that you are doing in us. And so, Lord, receive our praises and the thanksgiving from our lips, for you alone are worthy. Father, we praise you for remembering your covenant, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, with paying with your own blood in order to accomplish our redemption. Father, we ask that you would send the Holy Spirit here this morning, that he would continue to form us into the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, would you do that through the ordinary means of the preached word and of the Lord's Supper that is before us here this morning? Please, O Lord, use these ordinary means for extraordinary spiritual growth and transformation. And so, Lord, we ask that your name be exalted here this morning and that you would inhabit your praises. And we pray these things through Christ the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. And let's hear the Lord as he speaks to us through Psalm 130. And he calls us and he invites us to confess our sin and to abide more in him. Not only to confess, but to look and cast our eyes upon him. So hear now the word of the Lord from Psalm 130. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. And let's now read together the prayer printed in your bulletin as we together confess our sins as a church. Almighty God, you have shown us your covenantal mercy in and through Jesus. He was given to us to redeem us from all our sins and to set us free, serve you all of our days. But still, too often, we have chosen to walk in the ways of the world rather than to walk in your ways. Forgive us, O Lord. Remember the mercy that you promised to our fathers and to us. Grant us grace to trust in your promises and to live out a sense of gratitude that leads us into obedience and thanksgiving and praise. We ask this in the name of our Redeemer, Jesus. Amen. And now let's take some moments and bow your heads and confess individually your sin, and not only your sin, but also look to Christ. Ask for grace and ask for the Lord to continue and to grow you into the image of Christ.
And now be encouraged again by the word of the Lord and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen in the morning, more than watchmen in the morning. O Israel, O Church of Newport, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel. He will redeem you from all of our iniquities. Now stand, give thanks to the Lord again. Lord God, we've got numerous people traveling this week. We pray that you would be with them, that you would protect them. Lord, thank you for your willingness to travel on our behalf. You were willing to leave your Father's side in the throne room of heaven to travel to this earth, to be born as one of us. You set aside your glory, your power, all your privileges, You set those aside for our sake. You entered into this broken world. You entered into our broken lives. You allowed yourself to be humiliated. You, the limitless one, allowed yourself to be limited by the human condition. You, who possesses all glory and majesty, the riches of heaven, allowed yourself to be born into a poor family. You, who are all-knowing, subjected yourself, and in your human condition, you required a young mother and father to instruct you and others to give you guidance. You submitted yourself to the thorns and thistles of this world and of our lives. And you subjected yourself even into the hands of sinful men, to whom you willingly gave your life. You traveled to Jerusalem. You traveled to Calvary. You traveled to a tomb. And thanks be to God, you busted out of that tomb. And you busted out of the death that you entered into. And you were raised again to new life. And you traveled with your disciples for an additional period of time, and then you were ascended back up into heaven, where you are now seated at the right hand of the throne of God your Father once again. And you travel with us. You continue to walk with us. Walk with us all the more, O Jesus Emmanuel, we pray. And then lead us home in your good time. But Lord, we pray that you would give traveling mercies and that you would bless Trip this week, that you would do the same for, that you would be with. And as she leaves this home, will she with joy enter into that home that you have for her there in that beautiful area of the world. Lord, we thank you for this trip that you are ushering family member on. Oh, if only there was one who could lead her into full restoration. If only there was one who could bring deliverance. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, will you show her that you are that one, that you are sufficient to bring new life, to help her to walk in new ways. Lord, lead her into freedom from that which has enslaved her. Lord, lead us all into greater degrees of freedom from that which we too willingly give ourselves over to, Lord. Lord, we do pray as Joan requested for these wildfires in Washington State and throughout the West and even North, even Minnesota, Canada. Lord, I'm reminded also of the devastating fires that have been going on in France and Spain. Lord, deliver all those from the path of those flames. Be pleased to bring a satisfying, quenching rain that brings life, that protects life to each of those areas. We thank you that your grace, the righteousness of Christ, falls upon us in much the way that the rain falls upon the earth. We thank you that you are the God who protects us from the damages of the flames through the person and work of Jesus Christ. We pray for Mom, and we pray, Lord, that you would bring healing, that you would bring relief to her bone pain, joint pain, that you would produce new life in her bones. Our bodies are being recreated over and over and over each and every day. Lord, would you cause her body to bring restoration to her bones and to the cartilage and ligaments. Lord, continue to bring healing to, even though it's been quite some time since they've had their surgeries. Lord, continue to heal them. I'm also reminded of, and I pray that you would be pleased to strengthen and give her good health as well, both orthopedically as well as any way that she has need. Lord, we thank you for the way it seems that you have brought healing to her. We thank you for that. We thank you for the way that you have been healing and bringing back to full restoration from her, from his injury. We praise you and thank you for that. We pray for both of them that you would continue to do that. And Lord, for neighbors facing this cancer surgery, Lord, heal her, deliver her from that which threatens her. We pray a similar prayer for this young daughter of the pastor at church. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon that family, upon the ministry of parents. We ask your blessing upon our brothers and sisters in Christ there in that portion of your world, of your kingdom in Argentina. Lord God, I ask your blessing upon our friends and for some of us here, family members at the Romanian Pentecostal Church of Union, those dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We ask your blessing upon Pastor Florin or whoever may be bringing your word to those dear ones this morning. We thank you that you are active. We thank you for the way that that you redeemed and delivered. Lord, we pray for the church in Romania today. We pray that your word would be preached with power, that lives would be changed, that you would bring freedom, spiritual freedom, as well as personal freedoms in that area of the world and beyond. We pray that you would bring peace in Ukraine. Lord, I pray that you would bless brothers and sisters in Christ, even in the country that is attacking Ukraine, even brothers and sisters in Russia. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ in Iran and in Jordan and Syria, Lebanon, Israel. We pray, Lord, that your word would go forth with power in places like Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates. Lord, in all that area of the world which seems to be the Muslim world, Lord, reclaim that for yourself. Lord, I pray for your church in Egypt, and I ask you to use the ministry of Hadam and Lisa, our friends and supported ministries, and others, Lord, throughout that area. Lord, redeem all your people. Lord, we continue to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, well, let's take a few minutes and welcome one another in the name of the Lord. Well, everyone, I'll ask you to find your seats again. And we'll continue to worship the Lord now by giving our tithes and offerings. Encourage you to do so today from Psalm 54. With a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. Stay and sing a doxology. Be seated. And I'd like to call Alex up. He will be opening the word for us again this morning. So, Alex, brother.
Please open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where we will read our text from verse 16 through chapter 5, verse 7. Hear now the word of the Lord. From 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through chapter 5, verse 7. For we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner man is being renewed day by day. For this momentary light affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Bow your head with me and join me in prayer. Lord, as we stand under your word, which is alive and which is active, please speak to the needs of your people here at Newport this very morning. You know your own, and you know what we lack and what we need to hear in order to be fed. And so, Holy Spirit, please do that through the preached word this morning. Would you magnify our Lord Jesus this morning here as well through the preached word? And would you draw our hearts unto our Lord? Father, we ask this in the merits of Jesus Christ. Amen. As kids, every summer, our parents would load up our family van, and we would drive here to Missouri. At the time, we lived in Canada. So we would drive, and we would spend a week with my mother's family here. And being that this was basically our only vacation of the year, we were not really accustomed to long drives in the van. So the drive was unbearably long for us as kids. And it was probably not even an hour into that 13-hour drive where one of us would ask our parents, how much longer until we're there? And all along the way, we would always be pestering our parents. And I'm sure all of you guys who have kids or can understand that feeling. It's a torture of sorts. But when we would see the arch, man, we knew that we were close. We knew that we were almost there, and that it was sure that we would get here, and that it was only a matter of time until we would. And similarly, in our text, Paul speaks of redemption. And it's a road of sorts. And we are on this road of redemption, but we have not reached our final destination. And oftentimes, this journey on the road can be long. It can feel long. It could feel difficult. It could feel unbearable at times. And perhaps we might think that there are no signs that assure us that we're going in the right direction or that we will even get there. And so, in our text, Paul speaks of how we're traveling on this road of redemption. The anxieties and the distress that we have as travelers, as pilgrims, and some of the signs that we can look for, or the sign that we could look for, in order that assures us that we will get there and that we're close. So Apostle Paul speaks of how we are traveling in terms of the human body. That is how we're traveling. This is the vehicle, if you will. And the condition of this body, he comments on in verse 16. He says that it's wasting away. And that is beyond any doubt. And some of us know that in this room better than others. All of us did not always look as we do now. We may have had more hair. We may have had less wrinkles. We may have had better sight. But it's not only age and time that exposes how we decay and that we decay. It's also disease and illness. We all know what a terrible flu is like, or perhaps we know a loved one who has some chronic condition that they've had since they were young. And so Paul says that this body is characterized by decay. And why is that? What is the cause of this decay? Why is it that the outer self is wasting away? And it is because of the sin that is in all of us. Our first parents were told in Eden that if you eat of the tree, you will surely die. And we know that they didn't die right then, but it was not a sudden death, but it was a gradual one. And in another part of Scripture, in Romans, Paul says that because they were our first parents, this disease is hereditary, and we all share in it. And that is the curse of sin. And unfortunately, we are all subject to it. And what I want all of us to understand is this, that we live in a fallen body that is yet to be redeemed. And we see it. And we see this disease of sin that wastes us away. And it doesn't matter if you're a believer or an unbeliever. We decay. And so this is an area of sympathy that we as believers can have with even those who do not profess the faith, because it's a universal condition. But it's not just the body, but the way is hard. The road of redemption is difficult. Paul, when he speaks about this momentary light affliction, he's also speaking about life's events. Because if sin is present in us and in the world, that means that there will still be thorns and thistles. And when he's speaking about this momentary light afflictions, it's a callback to chapter 4, verse 8, where he's speaking about his own difficulties coming from ministry. And we might not have Paul's unique circumstances, but we have our own. However, look what he says. He calls this momentary and light affliction and oppression. This is how Paul encourages us and comforts us along the way, telling us that today, whatever condition we might be in, it's short-lived. And beloved, I do not want to make light of what each and every one of you is going through. Many of us have had and we received those troubling prayer requests. This week, we heard of little Henry, who, praise God, is doing better, but gave his parents and gave us here at Newport a scare. There was Cindy's brother, Richie, who had internal bleeding. Someone, I've also had that too, and I can say it's difficult. It's worrying. And none of these are pleasant and easy to endure. But in light of that, our Apostle Paul, being no stranger to suffering himself, reminds us to look at the at life with all of its difficulties as momentary, of just the condition of now. And I can't give you answers as to why and how you're in the situation or you face the difficulties that you do. That is unique to you. But Paul tells us that this is of now. And what is now is not permanent. It's momentary. And especially for us as Christians, for those who are in Christ, there is promise of better days ahead. Paul says that although this be the case, although the outer man fades away, although we face affliction, he says, we do not despair or we do not grow weary. Even though along redemption's road, our vehicle or the outer man decays by aging and we face along the road many, many obstacles, we do not despair. Why is that? Because the inner man in you is being renewed daily. This inner man is what was once dead to God. It used to hate God, and it used to only love self. But the Holy Spirit raised that dead soul to life. And not only that, it was raised to new life, but it's being renewed. It grows daily. Daily is what Paul says. And you see this, so the condition that we have as believers is very interesting. It's unique. Because, as I said, we share the fallen bodies with all humans, believers and unbelievers alike, and that we corrupt. But, as believers, we have a resurrected soul. We are not spiritually dead, but we are spiritually alive, growing and being renewed daily. So on the one hand, as believers, we might be wasting away outwardly. On the other hand, by the work of the Spirit, our inner man is growing and it's being renewed. And as we continue to live in this tension of outward decay, inward renewal, we near that glorious destination day by day. It will be accompanied by a moment of glory, which that which is mortal, that which is dead and subject to corruption, will be, Paul says, entirely swallowed up by life. God will clothe that mortal body with the incorruptible, with immortality. And he says that the glory is beyond all comprehension. When he says it's beyond all comprehension, it's of such an emphatic degree is what Paul is saying. We're not even able to comprehend it. It's unfathomable to us. And we might think we have a glory of sorts in our appearance, in our status, or in our wealth, but that's not stable. And we see that we lose it easily and quickly. And that's why Paul emphasizes it, and he contrasts that which is eternal with heaviness, weightiness. It's not light, but it's weighty. And what is heavy is not easily moved. So indeed, as believers, we do not grow weary in spite of life marching on to that final end. Because in journeying, we get closer and closer. And that is what it is for that affliction to produce in us or to prepare us for the eternal glory that Paul speaks of in verse 17. It's continued life here. But take heart in that, beloved. that for all who are in Christ, there is hope. And we do not despair in the end. Know that by reaching the end of this mortal life, we draw nearer to a glory that we cannot even comprehend. And as a result of knowing that promise and hope, Paul says that we groan within ourselves. Now, to groan is more than just knowing. Groaning comes from something that we feel. It's groaning is existential. It comes from something that we feel deeply inside of us. We don't groan from knowledge. We groan from emotion, from the deepest parts of us. So what is that that we feel then that causes us to groan? Paul says that this is the groaning of the new man, the soul. While we are yet in the decay of the body. And I think our Westminster Confession of Faith captures this very well. If you turn to the first page of your bulletin, there's printed the Westminster Confession, chapter 5, chapter 6, section 5, where it says, "This corruption of nature during this life doth remain in those that are regenerated, and although it be through Christ pardoned and mortified, yet both itself and all of its motions thereof are properly and truly sin." I know that 17th century English isn't always the easiest to follow, so let's try to unpack that a little. Again, the corruption of the nature is our body. We know that from this passage. Although the soul is being regenerated daily, we remain in the corrupted body. And the fallenness of the body is seen in the fact that it decays. And it remains in us all of our earthly days, and so do its desires. That's the motions that the confession speaks of. So the desires of the body, the desires of that which is fallen, are bent towards sin. On the one hand, we have a soul that is now alive. But on the other hand, this soul is in a fallen body that motions towards sin. The soul wants to do good, and it's the source of these new godly desires, but the body wants otherwise. So these two things are at odds within us, desiring contrary to one another. And today in the service, there was such a beautiful emphasis on grace and mercy. And it was just so beautiful to glory in it and to be reminded that we're saved by grace. But one of the reasons why we need constant grace to be poured out is because that presence of the fallen body that's not redeemed yet causes our sin to increase. Therefore, his mercies toward us increase. And that's why Paul says in another part of Romans 5, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. And so we tread this fine line between our fallenness. And sometimes we can look only to our fallenness and think we're hopeless. And at other times we could look only to the new man and think all is fine and dandy. I'm on Mount Zion. But we have to acknowledge both. The new man is growing. We are being sanctified. We are doing more good. That is by the work of the Spirit. But we stumble along the way. And that's why we need grace. And that is the groaning within us, beloved. Because we feel something at the deepest level inside of us that something is not right. That we are new, and yet the old body moves us to sin. And so we groan because we feel that something is incomplete. We groan because we wait for God to complete redemption, where we will have that eternal heavenly body which he has prepared for each and every one of you, beloved. And in doing so, the mortal will be finally swallowed up by life. Now, much time was spent explaining and unpacking our present condition, but we have to understand ourselves and who we are before we understand the beauty of what God is doing. And this is what we know of ourselves, that our bodies will be torn down sooner or later. We see decay daily. We see it all around us. And so how can we be sure that there's any solution at all? You might be tempted to think that surely we'll all go in the grave and that's the end of it. And what Paul seems to be doing, you might think, well, it's a salesman that's overpromising. But look at what Apostle Paul says in verse 5. That it is God who has prepared you for this very thing. If you are in Christ today and have anchored your hope in him, know that God's very purpose in creating you was so that he could lavish the richness of his grace unto you. And being the master craftsman that he is, his design or purpose will not fail. And to be sure, this work does not rest on you. It does not rest on the work of any man, but on God. The Creator wants to save you. Nay, he created you in order to save you from this lowly state of corruption to the state of exalted glory. And the assurance that we have, Paul says, is the Spirit. He says that he was given as a guarantee, as a down payment in advance. Now think about that. Think about how down payments usually work. If you have an old, decrepit home, and you're desirous of a 10,000 square foot stout home on 100 acres in the Colorado Rockies, with a long, winding driveway, with a stone exterior, with a marvelous slate roof, well, you would really need to cough up your coffers for that, wouldn't you? Well, you might find that you can't afford it, but suppose you could. Well, you would need to pay in advance a fraction of the total value of that house, let's say $5 million. So before you ever set foot in that home, before taking possession of, you have to pay $5 million. And once you did, you would take possession of the house that you worked for, that you paid for. But now look at the absurdity of what Apostle Paul is saying. The owner of the spectacular Colorado ranch on 100 acres is giving you that home for free. And in order for you to have confidence that the owner will grant you this, well, he is giving you a down payment. For you see, the owner promised to give us that home, and so we do not labor for it. You're not working for it. It's not a work of your own. It's God working in you. Because you see, when God gives you the Holy Spirit as down payment, he doesn't give you so that you can possess the Holy Spirit and just have it and put it on the wall and tell everyone, look. But in giving you the Spirit, God began the work of redemption in you. He began that work, and he so prepared you to take possession of the eternal weight of glory. Think about that. That inner man who is renewed daily, the soul who was once formerly dead, who raised the soul from the dead? It was the Holy Spirit. Who then renews the soul with new vigor? It's the Holy Spirit. And so then we find ourselves groaning for redemption to be completed because the Holy Spirit moved us first. He put us in that condition. He was the cause. He made our souls alive while all the while we live in this corrupting body. In giving the Spirit, God began what he prepared for you. And in beginning that work, God committed himself to you. And God is not a hobbyist to begin a project only to abandon it later because he thought, man, this is overly ambitious. No, he knows you and I. He knows how broken we are. And yet he set his affections on you and I. And so this is living by faith as we look to the things unseen, which is looking at the renewed and growing life of the inner man. Because if we look with the eyes of flesh at this life and at this body alone, we will despair. But looking at that inner man, which the Holy Spirit resurrected, which is growing in power, which is daily gaining vigor, we will gain courage. Our trust in God will grow, and we will entrust ourselves more to his plan and the ability of God to do it. So, beloved, this road that you and I are on is trying and hard. We look at what is seen, and that is our body, and we despair as we journey. For we break down and decay as we journey, and that drives us to think, can we ever get there? Can we reach that eternal bliss, that stable place of eternal glory? And the Lord is telling you and I here today that yes, it's possible because God is the one who will accomplish it and not you. And so we are constantly fraught with insecurity, and that is how we journey. We have doubts. However, that sign, that arch for you and I, that assures us that we're close, that assures us that it's going to happen. That's the inner man. Look at that sign that is hidden and not visible. It's the hidden, invisible work of the Holy Spirit, and that's where we see God's commitment, his pledge to us. And so be encouraged. God will accomplish redemption in you and I. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for helping us understand who we are. Only by understanding ourselves can we understand the work of redemption that you are doing. We know that while we journey, we decay, and we look with eager anticipation to our full redemption that you have promised to us, which is that resurrected soul in an incorruptible body. And not only that, but also being in a glorious new creation. We know that you will accomplish this because of the Holy Spirit, whom you sent to us and whom is in us. In sending the Spirit to us, you made us alive, and you committed yourself to our redemption. So our words fail in thanking you sufficiently and as is properly fit. And we anticipate that glorious day. And Lord, That's why we say, Maranatha, come, Lord, come. And also, this morning, we have before us a sign of your further grace, which is Holy Communion. Lord, would you feed us here this morning? Being at home in this body, we grow weary. But through these elements, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would feed us, strengthen us, encourage our soul, and quicken us unto life until we will be at home with you. Amen.
Paul says, because all these things are true, we do not lose heart. But yet there are times that the thorns and the thistles that we experience in this life may tempt us to lose heart. We weary sometimes. We grow weary of experiencing the fallenness of this world in the fallenness of our bodies. But we remember that in those times and in all times, Jesus invites us, come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden by the sorrows of life in this broken world and these broken bodies, Jesus invites us, come to him. And he says, if we would do that, if we would respond to that invitation that he extends to us, that he will grant us rest for our weary souls. Jesus provides a remedy for all of those troubles of our soul. He does that through his person, through his work, through his ministry, through the Holy Spirit, as Alex made reference of in this passage, who's given to us to help us and to strengthen us. And we remember that passage where Jesus says, come to me. He says, take my yoke and learn from me. We will be able to endure as we come to Jesus and allow the yoke of Jesus to be placed upon us. A yoke, that tool of agriculture where two oxen would be joined together and would pull. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And that feels like that would be a burden, to have a heavy wooden yoke laid upon us. But when Jesus is our yoke fellow, he carries that load for us, and he enables us to endure. This meal is one of the ways that the Lord restores our soul through the spiritual nourishment that he provides as we feast upon him, spiritually, but yet also really, as we partake of this bread and the cup. But that remedy for our weariness is possible only because Jesus allowed something far more weighty than a yoke to be placed upon his shoulders. And that was the cross. The cross that he willingly carried for you and for me, in which he allowed himself to be placed upon. This meal points to that. We remember that night before the Lord went to the cross to pay the cost to purchase our salvation, Jesus shared a meal, much like we will in just a few minutes. He shared a meal with his friends. And during that meal, he took some bread, and after giving thanks for it, he broke it. And he said, this is for you. Are you weary? I allow my body to be broken for you, to remedy your weariness. Likewise also he took the cup, and he said, this cup is the cup of the new covenant, poured out in my blood for the remission of sins. Take and drink this. And he invites us, do this often, right? Do this often in remembrance of me. In the same way, that invitation that he extends to us, come to me. That's an invitation where he intends for us to come often. Each and every day, actually, we must recognize our weariness and look to him for the strength that he provides. And he says, come to me and eat. Come to me and drink. And as we do that, we will never again hunger, never again thirst. As we seek to have our appetite, our thirst and our hunger be satisfied in and through him only, he will satisfy us. And he does that again today in no small way through this holy meal. Pray with me. Lord God, I pray that you would take these common elements of bread and juice and set them apart for your holy purposes. As we partake of these elements, may we remember your cross, what you did to allow us to be transformed from spiritually dead to spiritually alive, from an old man that's wasting away to a new man which will be raised incorruptible. May we remember and may we depend upon your Holy Spirit. Take these common elements of bread and juice, set them apart for your holy purposes, Lord, to strengthen us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll remind you, the outermost cup of the liquid is juice. The inner two rows are wine. The innermost row of crackers are gluten-free, and the others are regular. Please partake as you desire, but then hold them until all are served, and we'll partake together. in the new heavens and the new earth, after Jesus has returned, when our bodies have been raised and reunited with our souls, that's unless he comes before we die, we will be invited to partake of the marriage feast of the Lamb. Until that day, this is a down payment on that, an appetizer. Now, as Alex shared from this passage, until that day, the Holy Spirit has been given to us as well as a down payment, an appetizer, a promise of all that is yet to come. We remember that he who has promised is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we wait for that glorious day, feast upon the Lord's provision of his Spirit, of his body and blood, so that you may endure and not lose heart. Let's continue to worship the Lord and give thanks for this grace that he's given us.
To the
So again, if you can, please stay and join us for lunch. Also, I want to encourage you to thank Alex for his ministry, not only to us today, but also for these last several months. Next Sunday will be Alex's last week with us. So again, please extend your appreciation and encouragement to him, especially today, for bringing us the word. But first, let's receive the Lord's benediction. To help us to endure and to not lose heart, may the grace of God the Son and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to you, be yours now and forevermore. Amen.